Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to episode 175 of Born to be Wild, a Wild exclusive Hearthstone podcast where we have fun hanging out with friends, talking about the Wild format of Hearthstone and spotlighting members of the Wild community. I'm your host, as always, Nate Wolf. It is great to be back on a beautiful Friday evening. I'm joining you live from Orange County, California, here tonight with three of my favorite people. First up, Hydralisk. Welcome back, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Coming at y'all from the greater Vancouver area. Let's do the weather because that's what we do on the show. It's finally cooling off, and I'm so happy that I don't have to have the air conditioner blasting during the podcast or having to turn it off so that I can do the podcast and just sit here, you know, sweating. So I'm pretty stoked about that, and I'm happy to be here with y'all.
Yay. Electric Sheep City, welcome back.
Meowdy friends, I'm very excited to dive into some Hearthstone talk tonight with a few of my favorite friends coming at you, of course, live from the Denver Boulder area. And very excited to welcome our returning guest, Shmoopy Daddy.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I finally escaped Martian's holding cell. I will not divulge the techniques in which I did it, but I'm happy to be back here again and, you know, broadcasting from Orange County, New York, where the weather doesn't suck. It's been okay. It hasn't been too hot. It hasn't been too rainy. We're about to get a tropical storm, but what it is.
We may or may not morph you into C'Thun at some point during the show.
That's completely appropriate at all times.
C'Thun or Yanni, only time will tell.
No. We can't do that.
If anybody's ever like wondering what is with this inside joke that you hear like close to the beginning of the show, which we tend to do, watch the stream when we do this live, because we're usually live for like 20, 30 minutes before we start the show, and we'll like forget if like we said it during the episode or not.
This one involves the singer Yanni, so yeah. Now you know.
Completely innocent.
So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how the show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. So however you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes,
you. You. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this evening, however you are watching. But I want to give a big extra special thank you to those of you who are joining us live on Twitch, because it's Friday night and you could be doing anything and you chose to spend it with us. So that makes it extra special. We really appreciate you. Big shout out to Shakunin, the executive producer of our show, and to Armorn and our other patrons. Thank you very much for your support. If you are someone who's interested in supporting us, if you want to like, comment, subscribe to our stuff on YouTube, or give us a review on one of the podcast apps, that is always very helpful. If you're somebody who uses Twitch a lot, we do have some emotes that you can unlock for free just by following, and some that you can unlock by subscribing. Lastly, we do have some merchandise that's available on our website, which is borntobewildhs.com. We do have a lot of other stuff on our website as well, including our entire audio archive, links to all of our YouTube videos, separate links to all of our lore episodes. So if you're interested in checking out the stories behind the Hearthstone cards, we've got a bunch of videos in a separate section. And if you're into competitive, like tournament style gameplay, we do have links to our past cast and like streamed Born to Be Wild listener series matches, and they're all up there on the website. So yeah, check it out. borntobewildhs.com. Oh, and there's a bunch of parody songs also, and they're really funny. So yeah.
Can confirm.
There's a good one. Last week's was particularly inspired. I loved it. It's yeah. Great.
So is your face.
Aw. Well, this week was kind of like every other week. It was very busy. My mom got back from Romania and brought me some authentic Romanian chocolate. I have not tried it yet, but It is supposed to be very good. We do like a family game night during the week, and she had like different ones for everybody. And we like passed them around and tried them, and they were really good, actually. So yeah, anyways, she did not turn into a vampire, much to my chagrin, because she was in like that like Eastern Europe area doing kind of like one of those like Doctors Without Borders type of things, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, it had kind of a busy week.
To heal my patients.
Right. I did. Yeah. Because the new Stephen King book, Holly, came out. I see your note here, Hydra. And I did the same thing. So I listened to, over the course of the week, I listened to The Outsider, and then I listened to If It Bleeds, like back to back. And, nice. They're really great. I want to go watch the show again, although it's kind of depressing, but it's so good.
Oh, The Outsider?
Yeah. The problem is with these books, like, I like the middle of it, like, the best. When they're doing, like, the investigation and, like, unearthing secrets and stuff, like, I love that part. Yeah. And then, like, I never like it when they end. Like, the climax and the ending are, like, my least favorite parts. It's so strange. I can't explain
it. You like it, the journey.
I do. In games, I do that, too. Like, I want to play the game, and when it's time to beat it, it's like, eh.
You will really like the Dark Tower series.
I was going to say, I was thinking that exact thought. You will love the journey. It gets like 7 books. Or
yeah.
I have it. I'll have to queue it up, actually. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. But yeah, Holly, I started it and it's good. It's a little, I'd like to do the audiobooks typically, and it's a different narrator, which has really thrown me for a loop, because the person who narrated the first 2 books, and maybe the one that did the Mr. Mercedes books as well, I don't recall, but like
it
has such a distinct voice and style for how they portray the character that really, like, I don't know how to say it without spoiling it, but like it really like lends itself to the character development. And then you listen to the new narrator and like, she's like really peppy and stuff. And it's like, wait, you're like not doing the character right. But anyways.
And then this really dark thing happened.
Yeah. You can't have 4 books with the same narrator then switch. But yeah, no, I get it.
Oh my gosh. So, okay.
5 books.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for a minute, or as Freddie Prinze Jr. would say, a side quest. Okay. So the Dexter books were like they made audiobooks for them also. Like there was a whole book series, I don't know if you guys knew, based on that TV show is based on. And initially like they were narrated by Michael C. Hall, who plays Dexter, and I was like, this is amazing, right? You get to hear Michael C. Hall like narrate the books. Like that's great. And then like they got through the first like 4 or something. And the books are not super great. Like this is one of the rare cases where the TV show's better and they diverge very quickly. But at least the first book was like the first series. And then they did one where the author narrated the book and I just wanted to die. Like it was so bad. It was so bad. Like
you just wish that Dexter Morgan would come after you while reading it.
It put me like, out of my misery.
I don't know. When I heard Stephen King for the first time, it really threw me off. Although I kind of like his voice now, but like,
yeah, because he narrates some of his books as well.
He does. Cool. I won't say that he's like, he's not a voice actor, but
no, he's not the best. It kind of throws you off at the beginning because you're hearing his voice and it's a little distracting, and eventually you sort of forget about it.
You do eventually, yeah. But anyways, sorry. I the only other thing that I did this week that was noteworthy, it took me like a whole week. I finished building the Lego Black Panther.
Oh yeah.
This is a picture of me with it. Like I know I look a little bit different, but like
I see it.
But that's how big it is. Like it's bigger than my face. Like it's huge. It's pretty amazing. I actually think my only complaint with it, I think that the hands are a little bit too small. Or the head's a little bit too big. Like, I think that they're a slightly bit off. But, like, it's amazing.
The proportions are just out of whack.
Just a tiny bit. A tiny bit. But, like, I took pictures of it, like, during the build. And I was sending it to, like, the Cosmo group because it's all Marvel stuff. But, like, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, so I was I was building these. My brother came over the other night, and he takes the, like, you know, the, they're all movable. So he takes the fingers, you know, it's going like this, and he takes the fingers and like peels them back, and then and then like leaves the room, and I was like, all right, all right, it's a family show. Anyways, that was my week. Hydralisk, what have you been up to, man?
Oh man, so yeah, just like you, I'd recently done The Outsider only like a couple months ago, so I didn't have to relive that one. But I hadn't done If It Bleeds before Holly came out. So I was doing a read on that, and I was doing it before bed. And it's always fun reading, you know, a scary story at nighttime. My wife's asleep beside me, and I've got that little lamp, you know, like mm-hmm. laying there in bed and reading it. And I really, really enjoyed If It Bleeds. It's a lot shorter because it's in like a compilation novel. Right. So
it was really good, though.
Like, it's like 200 pages. It's really good.
It yeah, I really liked it. I didn't, that one, I didn't want it to end.
But. Yeah. I was really surprised, actually, that that wasn't the pivot to the new narrator, because that also, with the other books, I get it. It's not just Holly for the Mercedes trilogy and The Outsider. There's a lot of other characters, but If It Bleeds, it's like following Holly the entire time, mm-hmm. right? So they could have pivoted at that point, but they used the original. It's different now. I get it. It's the a female protagonist, and it's following her specifically, though. So Nate, you said you read a little bit of Holly so far, right?
I got it on Audible, yeah. And I am about halfway done, I think, actually. Okay.
I only started it yesterday, so I've just begun. I did the intro that takes place like a decade before the book does.
Yeah.
And I just read that before I was going to sleep, and I was like, okay, you got me hooked. Like, it's really good start. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. So I like it. I'm going to be reading it all weekend and stuff. It got me like right off the bat. I saw that, so I talked about Cyberpunk, I think, with like when it first came out and I was playing it on here and it was like glitchy, like crazy. Yeah. Like it was so messed up in the beginning, and they slowly fixed it and whatnot. And, there's an expansion coming out for it. That's actually, the file size is bigger than the original game. Right. So like, it's like 60 gigs to install the original game, and the, according to Steam, it's a 70 gig expansion.
Holy cow. So like,
that is a very, very large expansion. And so they updated like a whole bunch of like the systems, like your tech tree, how everything works. And they recommended starting a new character. So I did that yesterday, played some Cyberpunk. It was so funny because they had this problem where people, I don't know if you would see the pictures online of people doing the T-pose. Yeah. Like the characters were just doing this, and they like float around, right?
Yeah, they don't walk; they float.
Yeah, they float. So this is a problem when the game first came out. Anyway, so I start playing the game. I play through the intro. I play through the tutorial, and then you get to Night City. Night City is like where the main city that you do all of your quests and everything in. Anyway, there's this montage of you partying and all this stuff. It's like 6 months worth of stuff. It sort of does this montage of, but at the start of it, it shows you and your partner like getting out of your car or whatever and going through a parking lot. And I busted a gut laughing. You get out of the car and your characters just did this, and they floated across the parking lot. I'm like, it's been like 3 years. You didn't fix the T pose. Like, I couldn't believe it, because that was a bug when the game first started, and it was silly. And it's apparently still a thing, even though they got the expansion coming out. I laughed so hard. I couldn't wait to tell some of the guys at work that like the game too. It's hilarious.
Guys, they still have the T pose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everyone was laughing so hard. We're such nerds. Mm-hmm. once again, yes, I am still addicted to this Warcraft Rumble game. I'll try not to talk about it too much to make everybody jealous, but I play it like constantly because they've got the dailies and all this stuff. So trying to like balance Hearthstone quests and my Warcraft Rumble quests, I'm having a lot of fun. But when it comes to Hearthstone, I've been playing some standard, and I did the thing where you craft a whole golden deck, right? And because when the last expansion, when Titans first came out, because I really, really liked shuffling things, you know, into my opponent's decks, and plagues were fun. So I had the time I had crafted like an all golden plague deck. Yeah, there's a T-pose for people watching. That the characters just look like that. It's so silly. That's the Keanu.
Right? Should just walk around like that at work, like nothing's wrong. We're just walking around like...
I need one of those hoverboards and like...
I had really nerdy students who wanted to do this all the time during robotics. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And now I know. Now I get it. Now that is,
yeah, yeah, cyberpunk robotics. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No. So anyway, I had a quest to play some Death Knight, and so I was playing some Death Knight, and I won a bunch of games, and I was like, "Well, that's cool. I'm gonna keep playing till I lose." And then 15 games later, I was still winning. I didn't lose a single game playing Death Knight. Now, remember, this is standard where I don't have a high star bonus. I think it's like 8 stars or something like that, right? So not good.
That's more than 2.
So I'm stuck at platinum 5 now. But yeah, I went 15 games in a row not losing. I was so stoked. And when I lost my 16th game, I'm such a baby. I'm like, I'm not playing anymore. But then a couple days later, I picked it up, and now I'm like 22-5 or something like that. So it's balanced out. I think the MMR maybe has changed. I don't know but I'm losing now that I'm higher up. It's a little bit more balanced. So I'm down to like an 80% win rate.
Oh, but that's pretty low for Wild.
Only.
It's low for Wild, but he's playing standard, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll take the 80% win rate, but yeah, I don't know. I need to get some more bonus stars in standard, because I do enjoy the mode, because that's where you can play most of the new cards a lot of the time, except for when they have a Wild exclusive expansion. But yeah, that's basically been my week, and I'm probably going to play Cyberpunk on the weekend because, I played that first hour again, and I'm like, this is fun. I'm going to do it more. So yeah, super stoked. Though Sheep has a way cooler week than me. So Sheep, how was your week?
Well, I will remember the 21st night of December, because my baby said dada yesterday for the first time.
That's awesome. Yeah, you shared that in the Discord, and I was like over the moon happy for you. It's a really cool moment.
It really was. And he said it a couple times that night too, and it's just like, oh, got me right there. Like, you know, he's 9 months old as of yesterday, so like he's still a little guy. And yeah, every time he says a word, it's like super impactful. And this is only like the second word he said. So unless you count like, which he says a lot. Uh-huh. We've decided that's high.
Oh, that's so cool.
Uh-huh. I also hit Legended Wild yesterday.
Yes.
That is not nearly as impactful, but much more relevant here.
Says who, Sheep? Says who?
Me. Yeah. I did that thing with Shadow Priest. Shadow Priest is fun. I've got the signature meatball. It was a blast.
Literally.
Yeah.
I there did is a blast. Ship's cannon, too. and Mind Blast. There you go.
Porque no los dos. And I almost forgot that this was this week, because this week has been wild and crazy, but I hit 1,000 wins with Death Knight this week as well. So like the final check on my achievement list there.
Are you ever going to use the portrait? Like there's so many better ones now, right?
One of us.
But that's amazing. Congrats.
Thank you. And yeah, I'll probably use the Crimson Psy like as my primary, but still
that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So action packed week. One of my coworkers got back from vacation, and she's the one who's like training me on all the stuff. So it's like before I was learning all the stuff, but like a lot of it was self-taught. This week has been more like, hey, I'm actually learning like from the people who can actually give me the things that I need and kind of like walk me through the stuff. So work is picked up even more, which is great. And I'm learning a ton there as well. So absolutely loving all those things, be they in the work times or in the Hearthstone times. But Shmoopy Daddy, you've joined us this week. How was your week, my friend?
Sure. Well, I first, like, you know, I escaped from Martian's holding cell, which I have to say, I have to express some disappointment. No one from chat came to help me. Like, Aramorn is here before the hosts get into chat. And I assume, like, he's some sort of Canadian Special Forces or maybe Black Ops, given his skill set. And nothing. I was on my own. So I got out. That was great. I'm back at school. Work has been good. I really like my classes so far this year. Really nice kids. And I started strimming. I started doing the strimmer thing. This week was particularly, you know, this week was particularly impactful because I figured out how to do it on my desktop. My phone kept overheating and dropping the stream.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay.
It was really good for a...
It wasn't bad, right?
No, I watched a few of them, and I think especially for like a phone stream, it's really good.
The quality was decent. It was just... it was unfair for everything to be crashing and then having to ask people to reload every half an hour or so. That's just like, people just won't come back. Like, it's just obnoxious, right?
So, yeah.
We've been there with the show, right, Nate?
It's happened a couple of times. It's been a while, thankfully.
Back in the day, yeah, we had those issues. It's been good for a really long time now.
So, like, yeah. So, like, you know, you try to make little incremental changes in quality. And I said, well, if I'm going to really keep doing this, I'm going to try OBS on the computer. And so I sat down with the program and I had a real heart-to-heart with myself. And I said, Shmoopy Daddy, there are people far dumber than you that stream every day of their life. I'm sure you can figure this out. And sure enough, a few YouTube videos later, we got there. And my test stream turned into like a full hour and a half goofing off stream. And it's been good. It's been really cool. It's been really cool. More important than that, Shmoopy's in kindergarten. He's loving kindergarten. It's kind of a special setting given his educational background, but he is kicking butt. And he's like a big positive in the classroom where they're looking at him as like a model of behavior. And they're like, all right, this is where we want to get to. And he's a really positive contributor and they love him there. And he loves going there. He loves learning. And I think since I've been on, my daughter got sassy. She had a cognitive leap. And I
wonder where she gets that from.
It just straight up gave her an attitude. And so and there you go. Okay, what is this now?
Oh, you're a famous streamer now.
Oh, who is that?
That's Ninja.
I don't know Twitch celebrities. Thank you.
Oh, so Ninja, he's famous for Fortnite, was one of the biggest games that he played. He's
well, he's got awkward. Who is that?
he tends to rage. Actually, there was a really funny conversation.
Oh, does he? I've never actually watched his stream.
Yeah, there is a post that he made. He made a post saying, if you're not raging, you're not getting better. And Brian Kibler responded with a very wholesome response, like telling him that he's giving kids. He's like, you have an audience of millions of children and you are teaching them the opposite thing that is reality. Like teaching your all the children of the world that raging is a good thing and that what is what makes you better makes you a like not a good person. That's Cole's notes or whatever.
I think
summary
I sort of remember that post
Kibler said.
Like, it was a big deal that Kibler like went out of his way to kind of like call him out on it.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Good job,
Papa Kibler. Hearthstone is based.
yeah,
it's been that's been fun. That's like that's pretty much, you know, daughter is sassy now. She has very definite opinions on how things should go, and when I come home it's like daddy, and she just lots of drama and lots of big hugs, and it's just like, you know, before it was just kind of like, oh, you're here, And it's really neat watching your kids reach that stage where it's just like, oh, I'm not just like a food machine. Like they actually acknowledge my presence and it's cool. It's cool.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, maybe we should get into some news. Yeah.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
So some stuff's has happened, right? We got our anomalies. They are out. I'm sure you guys have noticed them being in your games. And there's a full list. We don't need to go over, you know, the whole thing. I was going to ask, like, hey, which ones do you think have been the most impactful? But I think the internet already decided that because they've already actually are removing two of the anomalies. So the Unimaginable Horrors, which is both players discover a new basic hero power on their first turn. That's being removed because, I mean, you could just pick something like way better in OP, I suppose.
and then, I was.
It's actually,
yeah, like if you're playing Pirate Warrior, you can pick the Hunter thing and you don't even have to run Finley, you know? Stuff like that, right? Yeah. I'm sure nobody's playing Pirate Warrior, but unless you're playing Twist. But then also the other one is Twist Reality. And that one is after a player plays a card this game, shuffle a copy into their deck. That sounds annoying, right?
I mean, control mirror is unbearable.
Like that.
Control mirrors in standard turned into just like hour-long slugfest just for ties.
Yeah. did any of that happen to you, Shroopy Daddy? Did you play?
I know. Like in Wild, the much more funny thing was it made Tony Druids have a very, very, very slim chance of winning because anytime they played a card, it shuffled a card in. Their only chance was to basically high roll and draw infinite pounces, and that was it.
Yeah, you can't thin your deck, right? Just back in there.
Another one.
Mill my own deck. Right. So, yeah, they're all out there. It's in the game now. It's kind of funny because I've mostly been playing on my phone and I don't even think about the anomaly at the beginning. I'll like queue and then I'll like be watching the TV and I'm like, oh, my game has started. Right. And then I look down, I'm like, what's that purple thing in the top corner? Oh, yeah. There's anomalies. What's this one do? Oh, that's why my cards cost less. I won't be paying attention to it at the beginning of the game. I just still jamming my deck because it's not something I'm used to yet. So I don't even look for it, but probably should. anybody have any memorable moments with any of these?
I've been playing in standard since I've already hit Legend and Wild. I've been playing this Control Warlock that I jammed Cho'Gall into as well. And it's got like all the tentacles and it's like, you know, random fun stuff. And so every once in a while, I'll actually get the double anomaly. And whenever that happens, it's so cool. One time it was the first spell that you play each turn costs one less. And then the second one was the first minion you play each turn costs one less. Wow. And it had both of them simultaneously. It was great. And of course, tentacles are, you know, one mana, one ones. So generating tentacles, playing tentacles for cheap, like, oh, it was glorious.
All of the tentacles.
And how?
That's amazing.
I like this one. Both players' cards are golden. That's great.
I had that once, and it didn't change anything for my deck, but it may have changed something for my opponent's deck.
That's like the secret, like subliminal, like spend more money on the game. This is like your free sample of what your deck would look like golden.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
coin turns gold? Look at that.
Oh, that's so cool, right?
For me, you know, but as far as the anomalies go, like I have found, like as far as if I'm casually gaming, I have found them to be like every game's different. It's kind of refreshing. Like even some similar matchups get like changed slightly, like their play patterns, just like what cards you play on what in what turn based on discounts. It changes the matchup a little bit, so it keeps it fresh. Tryharding, it's almost infuriating. Just because like I was tryharding in Twist and the anomalies almost felt like an experience I want to be homogenous and like predictable. is now unpredictable and frustrating. So, like, I it's funny because I've enjoyed them by and large, but I can see kind of both sides as far as, like, you know, people getting upset with them.
Yeah, it's a good point of keeping, like, if you're used to the same matchup, like, constantly, and, hey, guess what? There's a little twist on it. It's fresh because there's this tiny little thing that's different this time than it was last time. So I appreciate it personally. But we got some other cool stuff. People like free stuff, right? I take free stuff. I feel like they've been doing a lot of these events, and I'm really appreciating it. We have another in-game event coming, and this one is dropping on September 26th and going to run through October 10th. It's called The Great Yogg Escape. And for your efforts, when you complete the mini rewards track, you will get 2 standard packs, 2 Titans pack, and 1 golden standard pack, and also the new Cabal Nazoth Warlock hero skin.
Wow! Oh, yeah!
I like free skins, and I will not lie. they're pretty good. So much appreciated. Keep doing it, Blizzard. Speaking of skins, there is the much talked about new C'Thun legendary skin. Holy mackerel, this is way different than anything else we've basically seen. A lot of chatter about it. This one is not free, by the way. If you live in Canada, it's like $3,000.
Roughly. Rounding down.
Has anyone bought this yet? I haven't. Oh, yeah, 2 hands are raised. I haven't done it yet because I told myself I was going to, like, not buy, like, extra things I don't need. But if this disappears from the shop and I didn't get it, I'm going to be disappointed. But I'm like...
You will be.
But I don't have, like, a spare 3,000 Canadian dollars for...
That's just go true. Without your coffee one morning and you'll have an extra $3,000.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think I sort of gotta get it, right? It just, to me, it's double the price of like what the other heroes have been. So
I'll tell you, they made a major mistake here. This would, like, they want to bring Old God Chaos into the game. Like, this is what they should do. This should not be a druid hero portrait.
Yeah,
you should be able to use this with every single class.
And yep, just 100%,
and just ruin the experience for everybody, so they never know what you're playing, except this giant hideous eye.
I gotta say, the one thing that feels a little weird is whenever I use my hero power. You know, I'm a druid, and it makes the eye beam, but then I take damage too because, you know,
yeah,
I'm actually attacking, even though the, like, animation looks like it's, you know, shooting a little laser beam. Still absolutely incredible, but that's the one thing that feels a little awkward.
We finally have a 3D one that looks good, because it's not in the thing that's great about this is it's not in one of those chunky, like, frames. That's what I hate about the 3D ones, is they put them in the frames, but then they make them with, like, the extra big Warcraft 3 shoulder pads. Like, it's like, look, you don't need that. It takes away from the 3D. Like, this is rad because it's just sitting on top of where the portrait should be, like, it's just taken over. It's such a lore thing, right, that it's, like, embedded in the earth. Like, it's so good. Goliath must love it.
It's
except it shouldn't be druid. Like, why is it druid? I don't know.
It shouldn't be druid if you align it with, like, lore, right? Like, I thought even, like, maybe, like, oh, well, like, corrupting the Emerald Dream, well, no, that was really Nazoth, right? So, like, the lore people were so mad, as they should be. That being said, like, I think because the hero power animation was like an I-beam, the only places you could put it were Mage and Druid. And Matt London admitted to kind of, like, well, it's going in Druid because I like Druid. So that was the reason why that went down. I went on Twitter and I sent the bait tweet of, like, it's hideous. It's the ugliest portrait we have ever gotten. I must own it. And I it's so awesome. I might not use another druid portrait ever again, unless I'm planning on playing a space cow on 5. And even then, there's some bonus points. Cheap, you can explain the benefits to doing that.
Yeah. So if you win while having played Guff, then, you know, Guff comes up, you know, as the victory thing, but then the tentacles are all behind it still. It looks cool. It looks incredible.
Tentacle Guff.
Yeah. You might not know it. Like when you get like a victory screen, it's like, it's the portrait and his tentacles are all like coming out and spreading out like outside of the portrait. And there's like a misty kind of like, you know, haze of just void and doom and despair. And when you lose, he's all crouched up and kind of like covering himself like, no.
And he's actually contained in the little like hero portrait.
Yeah,
like,
in the little hero portrait. It's really, really neat.
Boundaries.
It's been nailed. Like this is, Sheep said it. This is probably one of the best hero portraits they've ever released. It is hideous. It is disgusting. And that's exactly what an old god should look like. It should fill you with, repulsion and just general vibes of unease. And it's amazing.
And I may not use another druid hero portrait, including Dame Hazelbark. It's just, it's that good.
No, no, no.
We can't do that, but we're going to, because it's C'Thun.
Yeah, I get it. It's pretty amazing.
So is your face.
Did you see the Ixar tweet the other day? It was so funny. Ben Hearthstone posted, tomorrow will be 6 months until Play Hearthstone's 10-year birthday. Released March 11, 2014. That's incredible longevity. How do you like the game to celebrate Hearthstone 2.0? What as a community can we do to celebrate 10 years of Hearthstone? And let me pull it up here. It was wonderful. It was like the greatest thing. I forgot about Ixar. I hate to say it, but like you've been absent for a while now, right? And yeah, this I laughed so hard when I saw this. Here's the response. Hold on. Drum roll, please, while I cue it up here. Wow, you guys are good.
So is your face.
Here we go. Here's Ixar. I'll come back on a one-day contract to buff Secret Mage one last time.
One last time.
Oh, so good. So good.
I liked that response. I had to. Like, please don't buff Secret Mage, but it was funny.
It was really funny.
The Cabal Crystal Runner buff still is asinine to me. Like, I'm still tilted by that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not tilted by it. But when I saw it for the first time, I was like,
why? Why, though?
Yeah, but why? Is that necessary? Like, it didn't seem necessary, but it's a
was
thing.
Was it impactful on Twist? I mean, we just got a Twist, you know, VS report. Is that in the news? I don't want to jump the shark.
It's not. Now's a great time to mention it. So we did, in fact, get a VS report for Twist. And there are a few decks that are OP. Mage is not one of them. So, of course, the overpowered ones are Warlock, Disco, Warrior. I can't remember what they're calling it, Control or Nazoth, but it's the Iron Juggernaut.
They call it Control Warrior. Yeah,
they're saying Control Warrior. I mean, it sort of makes sense with all the aggro. So
yeah. And then kind of like tier two is Rogue of various flavors, typically Jade, sometimes with the C'Thun thrown in as well. And then like Face Hunter, I think they call it like three patches.
Patches Hunter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they run the Acid Maw and Dread Scale. Vice versa.
Want to draw them. You want to grab them with Trial of the Jermungandr or whatever, and you want them to stay in deck because it's long. Trial doesn't actually draw them. Trial summons copies of them, so they remain in your deck. So you have like five mana Flurgle Talks just sort of sitting in your deck as long as it's there. And that's not oppressive, but it's very strong for that format.
Yeah. So to answer your question of was it necessary, honestly, like I think that if they were trying to make Mage playable, then they probably should have been a bit more heavy-handed with it than they actually were. The Cabal Crystal Runner being buffed was like a helpful aspect, but it didn't quite let it get there. So I think that the Cabal Crystal Runner buff was actually in an effort to make that deck meta. It just didn't quite nudge it far enough. Meanwhile, in our format, it just made a very good deck even better.
Deck just more obnoxious. Yeah.
Yeah.
The actual VS report, there is a pretty like jaw-dropping passage. I don't remember it word for word. That was essentially like, we aren't even going to bother addressing the bottom five classes because there's no discernible data to speak of about any possible competitive deck that you could build from them. So aside, like if the most popular class in the format is Druid, there are no good Druid decks. If you're playing Druid in Twist and you're at a low MMR, you can probably get away with it. Once you start getting into the competitive setting, there is no good Druid deck. And you know, the like VS was kind of like, this is one of the most bleak outlooks we've ever seen. And just like, you know, the best mage deck was same classic 30 freeze mage, I think. Right? Like, I don't think it was any. So, but anyway, I digress. This all started because of Ixar buffing Cabal Crystal Runner from beyond the grave. So,
yeah. Absolutely. So, speaking of nerfs, buffs, etc., Gadget Sand Auctioneer looks like it will be nerfed relatively soon. So
either that, or we're just getting trolled like crazy.
Right. So Aleko tweeted a message for the Miracle Druid enjoyers, and it's got a picture of Gadget Sand Auctioneer, followed by the Sylvester Stallone,
that's John Rambo,
coming for you. Yeah, Rambo, I'm coming for you. So this is specifically going to be targeted at the Miracle Druid in standard deck. That deck is much more oppressive in our format, and it's not like, you know, running away like a power outlier. It's just annoying and a bad like play experience, right? So I'm not particularly bothered by the potential impact here. What are y'all's thoughts?
Spoopy Daddy?
I was gonna say, Sheep, just as a question, because I've seen Corbett play this a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like it's a really hard deck that also can lose to some RNG. Like sometimes mm-hmm. you're really relying on Ignis giving you a Wind Fury weapon and you low roll and you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't played enough standard to really know if it's how good or bad it is. So I guess my kind of take from this is there any sort of sniffing of animation cheating in standard? Because I can't help but see when we have these sort of APME style decks, the devs start kind of like their ears kind of perk up, because I think one of the things that they is still sort of scarring is like how long spell ignite mage or just like, you know, ignite mage cheating was going on in Wild, where it kind of became a running joke. You had streamers pointing out, you know, in videos on their channels, like, look, this is a clear example of animation cheating, and we can time out how long these actions should take. And this is, they're taking so much more. And I've gone on here and talked about how we shouldn't accuse every APM deck of animation cheating, but annoying APM deck gets a nerf. Kind of sounds like Clergy Priest and Wild. Like, what are the feelings in standard as far as like, if there's any animation cheating involved, or is this just, you know, bad feels, or is this even oppressive? This looks like a hard deck to play.
I think at the very least at the MMR that I'm playing at, and you know, I have 10x in standard. I'm not at all pushing for a high standard finish. Like 2 months ago, I was like on the cusp of 11x. So like I'm there-ish, but I'm in the Diamond 5 to Legend pool right now. Played a lot of Twist and Wild so far this month. I've run into like two or three of them, and I knew that what they were doing and kind of like either was beating them down and got them there before they could get there, or shuffled things into their deck, I'm trying to remember the shuffled things into their deck was a Twist game. Sorry, that one was Twist. Okay. The few that I've run into in standard, animation cheating hasn't seemed like it was an issue. You know, yeah, it was an APM turn. Yeah, they were doing their APM thing, but it definitely did not feel like an animation cheat. In fact, they didn't actually get as many of their actual actions in that they really should have been able to, any of them. Now, I'm not playing in the like, oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm only playing in the I'm playing in the 10x range and not the 11x range. So I'm dealing with people who are picking up a new difficult to pilot deck, and trying to master it. They're not, definitely not at like Corbett's level, who's, you know, A, amazing at the game, B, has played a very similar style deck to this in Wild many times before, trying, like, he's not starting from square one either.
He spent,
right,
an hour to get back to 500. Like, he spent an hour to get back to 50, to a 50% win rate.
Wow. Like,
he tilted hard, and then he kind of figured it out and like crawled his way back. Like, he put no face cam, no mic, just kind of like, okay,
wow,
how do we play? To give you an idea of like how difficult the deck is, because there's a lot of decision points. It's very quick, and you can still lose to RNG. And so like, you have to kind of play a little bit of a gambler's mentality too while you're doing it.
There's also the potential of future, you know, expansions and other cards coming out as well that could, you know, feed into this already. And sometimes they do hit stuff like ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And we're always wondering, oh, why are they doing that? And then you're, oh, that's why. So always an option.
Absolutely. I think at the very least, if Miracle Druid is getting hit, I think it's for play pattern and negative experience more than it is for win rate outlying. Potentially, there's some animation cheating going on that I just haven't seen. But I think it's more for the play pattern and negative feels, because whenever they do their thing and it goes off, their opponent really has no way to play around it, right? So I think that's more why than anything else, for sure.
Well, we'll see how long that takes when the next patch comes out.
And it gives him an excuse to double dip, right? Like,
yeah,
it hits him in a while too.
Yeah. Well, if no one else has any other comments on our poor Gadgets and Auctioneer, there's one more free thing you can get. One more free thing.
Hey, free stuff.
Yeah. You can get one random standard epic card with your Prime Gaming. And that is available till October 18th. So yeah, when I look at this, I'm like, hey, dust, turn you into dust and craft something I want. So
free razor scale.
So that's always good. Thank you so much for free stuff. I will take all of your free stuff and give me more. All right, so there's some decks that Shmoopy Daddy has brought to discuss. So I feel like I should just pass the mic over, because he you know,
welcome to the decks.
Yeah.
decks are
kind of good.
really spicy.
These are actually decent.
One, yeah, you got is Hijo Bonk. Tell us about Hijo Bonk.
All right, so like this is Hijo's initial build. Copper Scum did very well with something similar, with a couple different changes and some swaps. Like, he took out the nature studies, and but the whole idea is you are playing Bonk Druid, like, right? You're playing Questline Druid. You're playing the good cards. Something like Oracle has always been kind of borderline. Like, it's nice in the mirror for making more owls or more giants and adding more threats. You cut your cute little cats. You cut the smaller cat person things that draw the cats and the owls. And you just go all in on spells. And you make Yogg as cheap as possible. And the idea behind this is that Yogg as a one-sided hysteria or Yogg as a mind control is just a very powerful tool to just drop on a board of taunts, erase the board of taunts, and go face. It was always sort of a spell-heavy deck, so Yogg was always going to be a consideration. And I will say this, as far as just notes on Wild as a whole post miniset. I don't know if the other miniset cards ultimately are going to make the same impact, but is it Yogg the Unleashed? Is that the official title of the card? I just keep calling it New Yogg.
Yogg-Saron Unleashed.
Yogg-Saron Unleashed has been a force for slowing down the meta because it's a in Wild, we can find ways of generating many cheap spells and kind of cheating them out earlier and earlier. And so it feels very Kazakhstan-y to sort of just sort of give some context of how, like, you know, people playing Kazakhstan on four and winning the games is sort of a slower druid build. It's felt like a handbrake on the meta and kind of slowed things down and given people a control tool that they can cheat out early. And so something like this is a great home for it because you're going face, you need to remove things. He removes things, you keep going face. Or you're gassed out, let me fill my hand with tentacles and just start ripping tentacles like crazy. This is a deck that's good enough that I might climb with it next month. I haven't decided yet. But this is on a short list. This is a good deck.
It looks like they just cut one Embrace of Nature to throw in here. Is that what happened?
So the Embrace of Nature tutors the new, is it Forbidden Fruit? The new Forbidden Fruit. And that's the only choose one card in the deck. It's a zero mana and you choose between, am I going to turn all my mana into attack or am I going to basically turn my mana into armor, but I get double the armor for the mana I spend. So if I spend five mana and get attack, I get five attack. If I spend five mana and get armor, I get 10 armor.
Okay.
So if I, you know, if I embrace one of those and I play it, now I get five attack and 10 armor. It's a cute card.
Or 6, 12, 7, 14.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It scales. It scales based on what you pay. And it costs zero. So sometimes you just rip it to make Yogg cheaper and you get no value from it, but you've made Yogg cheaper. So
cool.
But yeah, plays like normal Bonk Druid, but it's got a little bit of spice to it. It's a little bit better into Mech Paladin because you've got Yogg in there. And again, sometimes a mind control to take out a big taunt, like GG's.
Yeah, gotta love me a really cheap or free mind control.
Yeah.
And I do love Voop and the Snoot, so this will be a blast, and we can play the new C'Thun portrait with it.
Nice.
Yes.
That's
and you get the animation better. Constantly. This is the next co-op with Shroompy Mommy. Next time we stream, next time we were going to co-op on Thursday, she got sleepy pee-pee. It didn't work out. You know, once a week I try to co-op with her on stream and give her a new deck to try in Wild. This is the next new deck, and because I think it's a good deck. And if she likes it, maybe she climbs with it next month.
Nice.
Nice. All right, what do we have up next? It is the 10 Tackle Caverns.
So 10 Tackle is my name for the tentacles.
Oh, I was like, what? But yeah, so it's a quest rogue, right? The caverns below quest rogue.
Yeah. And this deck was actually made by Coming Virus, friend of the show. You know, a good Wild player. And he his thought for this was, well, what if he played against somebody doing this and then he made his own list and that's sort of what I've been playing. What if we made Yogg as cheap as possible? And then what if we then completed the Caverns Below quest with either Yogg or Yogg's tentacles or with Mailbox Dancers? And now when Yogg makes tentacles, all the tentacles are 5/5s. So they're not only doing their normal effect of playing a spell, but they're also one mana 5/5s, which is a pretty decent threat. There's no charge in the list, but having Yogg cost zero and then shadow stepping Yogg. So like against a lot of miracle rogues who are trying to also play Yogg. So they'll play their arcane giants. And I played somebody on stream yesterday with this deck. I think it was my last game of the night. I played Yogg. I mind controlled his 14/14 Eddie. He had a 14/14 Eddie and he had two 8/8s. I mind controlled the 14/14 Eddie, brought it to my side, shadow stepped Yogg, threw him back down again, and played the Mass Hysteria option and cleared the 8/8s. And the guy's portrait exploded. He just left. like being able to bounce Yogg multiple times, you're not always going to get full value for all three charges from his Titan, ability, but that almost doesn't matter because you're sometimes leaving behind a 7-5 with rush. Sometimes you're making a bunch of 5-5s. This is pretty decent. Still, like, you know, loses the typical Caverns Rogue things. Hyper aggro is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. But it has an advantage where you can get Ryog down pretty fast because the deck is basically all spells and draw. Like, there are times I will gear shift my Yogg away because I just draw him back again. It just is like a magnet because it's just there's so much draw and so much cycle. So this is a really cool list that I like.
And some of the 10 drop options are things like Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron.
Yeah.
Or Pyroblast. Slam. Yeah. Yeah,
Pyroblast, like nutty stuff.
So once the tentacles get up to where they're dealing or summoning, using, casting a 10 mana spell, they don't scale up past that. So you can just 10 mana spell, 10 mana spell, 10 mana spell, 10 mana spell. And you're making 5-5s every time you do it. It's so much fun.
Oh, great. I got Survival of the Fittest. Oh, I mean, sometimes you get Doom and that's Yogg for you. Unlucky.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you know, it's funny cause Sheep got this. I played this deck. I posted the code in my chat. I immediately, Sheep took it, queued it up, and we queued each other on accident on stream, which was very funny. He goes, "Oh, I hope you enjoy playing against this deck." it was a very fun game. I feel like Sheep took kind of like some fun lines, to kind of make it more fun as opposed to like trying to make my face explode. So I ended up coming out on top narrowly, but it was a really fun game. Sheep, what was your record with this deck?
I went 1-6 with this deck, but I was definitely going with the let's play for fun and just play as many tentacles as I can. I pass up lethal a few times because I just wanted to, you know, have fun. So the 1-6 is not a reflection of the prowess of the deck. It's a reflection of me wanting to just play as many tentacles as I can.
You were goofing off. As I went, yeah. I kind of went 6. I went the opposite way. I went 6-2 and I was just like, this is actually pretty decent. And I'm seeing a lot of sort of consternation in tryhard circles of just like, okay, well, Yogg doesn't seem quite it in Miracle Druid, but like Miracle Rogue. But what if Miracle Rogue isn't the right fit? What if it needs a deck with more spell density even than Miracle Rogue, which I thought was interesting. So this is more of, I would say, more of a fun deck, but you will win games playing with this. Like Coming Virus, 10x player, used to be 11x, climbing with this homebrew in you know, through Diamond right now, so he's nice. He's doing pretty good with that. So decent list.
Cool. Well, up next, Smooth Brain Titans. at a quick glance, this looks like a funner version of Big Priest.
This is probably a better version of Big Priest.
Tell us.
Unironically. So what if you cut Blood of Cahoon from Big Priest? What if it's time? What if the best cards that you play in Big Priest are Neptulon and Amethul? Which, like, it's already looked like from my experience last expansion, Get Me Out's experience last expansion, like Amethul and Big Priest is really, really good because you would cheat out a minion that goes and then just deletes two minions on the opponent's side. Let's just delete their two biggest threats. So let's delete a Tiny Knight and let's delete a Merchant with two Soul Barrages in it. Bye-bye. Not in the res pool. Not going to be brought back by Raise Dead. Not going to have a Death Rattle trigger. Just poof, gone. Very powerful effect. I'd argue more powerful than making 2-5-5 taunts. What's also more powerful than making 2-5-5 taunts? Well, let's slot in Yogi Boy, who has that one-sided mass hysteria, or a mind control, which can be very good if, let's say, oh, nice thing from below, yoink, to just sort of blow up an opponent's board at random, and then you summon him back and use the Titan ability again. I think this is probably... this might not be the perfect 30 for Big Priest, but I think it's pretty close. I took a 12-win Brawlysium. I took a 12-win Brawlysium run list. They had something weird where they did one sphere, one shadow needle, and I thought that was strange, so I cut the sphere, and I just put a second shadow cloth needle in there. And then I took out the bloods, and I put in Amethul and Yogg, and there you go. We slapped it on. We're good to go. Perfect 30.
Nice.
I do think this is better. I think you win the mirror because Yogg is going to steal Neptulon and other minions from your opponent and not put them in their res pool. You're going to play Amethul, which is going to delete opponents, and that's not going to end up in the res pool. And I just think in general, playing the Titans is more proactive and a lot stronger into aggro and pressure in general than making a wall of angry red buttholes, as my wife would say.
Blood of Gahan.
Oh, God.
It never gets old.
It doesn't get old. It doesn't get old. And it's even funnier when she's on the grind at the dinner table and she's just like, oh, these angry red buttholes. And it's like, my kid heard that. Unlucky.
Oh.
But if you feel like, kind of like tuning out, I'm not reading that out loud, sheep. If you kind of feel like, climbing and tuning out and watching some Netflix, and I say that, but there's actually more decision making because there's more decision making because the Amethul discovers are impactful. The options off Yogg are not always straightforward. Do I mind control? Do I hysteria? Or do I just go nuts with tentacles here? There are, it's a little bit more asymmetrical too. So it's not just as linear as normal big priest, but I like, this is something that I would consider bringing to THL. Like, I think it's a decent deck.
Well, I feel like I want to play it because, it's been a long time, but I have been a big priest enjoyer. Don't tell anybody, at certain points when I want to turn off my brain. Now, I've admitted to it on the show before. Like, if I want to watch Netflix and play Hearthstone, it's like a go-to. Like, not to say it's a brain dead deck, but it's
I mean, it's no even shaman, but
yeah.
One thing that I think this version and the previous version with just Amethul kind of introduced to the archetype is actually a lot more decision points because the Titan abilities, you get the Titan on board early with the cheating stuff out, which is with Shadow Essence, etc., which is great. But it's the decisions once they're there on whether you're getting rid of a thing, whether you're summoning like a six drop with taunt and lifesteal, or whether you decide to just like fill your hand with tentacles, or like it introduces a lot more decision points than the deck already had, which I think is a really cool wrinkle to it as well.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I 100% agree from just looking at it. It adds a whole new aspect. You could have some big brain moments with like, oh, that legendary is going to come in handy later. Right, like it's there's going to be some fun moments there's, for sure.
To speak to that, I had one game on stream where I was playing against an XL Reno Priest, and so at any point in time, I was just like, all right, this dude's going to like steal my minion at some point. So I'm literally playing Yogg, or I'm playing Amethul, and using up the mind control option, or I'm using up the Amethul like delete two minions option, so that if my opponent copies my minion, that's not an option they're going to have to use against me. In that game, because of Amethul, because of palm reading discovering identity theft, I generated a Raza and an Anduin. Now, I was sort of pushed in that direction because the anomaly was the one mana hero power. So it's just like, well, if I have a free Anduin, like, why wouldn't I just like try to do like, hey, look, guys, I'm nerfed Raza Priest from way back when. And so like it was like a gag at first, but I literally found lethal because I found Raza Anduin. We both got down to the bottom of our decks, and I pulled off a ridiculous scam of somehow generating the DK legendary that makes a 9/9 boar with charge and taunt.
And opponent down.
Wow.
From, yeah, I literally like made a cage head with the spell. So I had a minion in hand, and I transformed it with the transform spell, and I made a cage head, and I was just like, okay, it's a 5 mana cage head. Well, let's go from here. Burst an opponent down from 26. So like you can have kind of silly, goofy, funny games like that where it's not just make thing go face, me win. which can be very effective because, you know, it can be very strong, but at times it means that you're not breaking parity. You're not doing anything mm-hmm. to change up the game plan in case things aren't going your way. And this definitely gives you that option.
What I also really like about this deck in particular is that Amenthul only costs 7. So if you draw patches, Amenthul is 7. You play spells, Yogg can be much cheaper than, of course, the 15 that is starting
cool.
at.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, so if
you
draw drawn...
dead, you actually can play the minions instead of them just like sitting in your hand until turn 10, maybe, until you just like play them from your hand there. They're much cheaper than that, which is another kind of like keeping it from being as polarized whenever you do draw bad.
That's a great point, because sometimes against aggro, you just have to spam spells. Like I have to play my Spirit Lash. I have to shard. I have to dig as hard as I can. Unfortunate phrasing. I have to play Hysteria. I have to do as much as I can to kind of keep myself alive. And then all of a sudden, oh, I can play Yogg now. Oh, I can play Amethul now. And like them being in your hand isn't world ending. So like, mm-hmm. I think this is the direction Big Priest is going. And honestly, like, it's kind of okay with me. It's not like they form taunts as an aggro deck. So like if they scam me out of something like it, Yogg has been very powerful, but Yogg hasn't been, oh, the game ends because Yogg came down. Right. In my opinion, this is a great design mm-hmm. as far as a card goes. I'm very pro Yogg. So this is a fun deck to use, even though it's Big Priest. And that's basically what I got to say about it.
Nice. Hey, it looks fun. I love Big Priest though. I mean, I feel bad saying that, but like it's evolved a little bit since it's changed a little bit. It's a five-head gamer over here. A tale of terrible tragedy. I know. I played it back in the Barnes days.
Yeah. Back in my day.
Oh, drawing Barnes summoning Barnes.
Oh, so sad. That's so sad.
Who would have thought the old god Barnes would end up playing in Big Priest isn't Yashara, and it's
right.
And it's Yogg.
Weird.
Yogg of all things.
Praise be.
Praise be.
That's fantastic.
So is your face. Well, I believe that Hydra has a question for someone to kind of round the show out.
And now, unrelated advice. With Nate Wolf.
Shmoopy Daddy. All right, so this one's actually a little more geared towards Shmoopy Mommy, but she's not here. It's you that's here, so you're gonna have to answer this question. And I just thought of this because of her cute name for the Blood of Gahood.
Of course.
it was extremely creative. It didn't use any of the words on the card, anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was image based, it seemed, and I was thinking like if she could come up with that. There's gotta be more, right?
Yes.
Are there other cards that she has come up with these pet names for, and where does she draw her inspiration?
Who did she name that?
I think she draws her inspiration from half paying attention, and so something will happen, and I'll be like, they swapped my decks. Did they play Tony? I don't know. Who is Tony? They swapped my deck. I'm not drawing my cards. Whose cards are these? These are my cards.
Who's Tony?
And so like she doesn't read. She's a perfect wild player. She doesn't read. She goes face.
Yes.
She's pretty good at going face. But no, she's like, no, I don't know card names. Let me think of another one. She knows objection. Like some of them have caused enough trauma that she's bothered to learn the names. So like,
I bet
she knows the Arctic, she knows Shutter Walk, she knows Flurgle Talks, right? But sometimes she'll be like, maybe they just played a thing and I can't do my thing. I can't do my thing that I want to do. I can't do my thing I want to do, but I want to do it. And they're at 3 health. If I just hit him in the face once, I can win. So like, you know, she hasn't seen Snowfall Guardian in a while, but yeah, who is Tony is the one that, got me.
So it's not Tony. It's who is Tony from now on? Tony, yeah, who is Tony?
Who's Tony? Who is Tony? Like, I'll be like, well, is it Tony Druid? Who's Tony? I don't get it. What do you mean? There's Tony. Like, this is Tony, King of Piracy. He swaps your decks. I don't read the, like,
it says here, I'm versing E Sheep City. Yeah. Not Tony.
I'm not a Tony Druid player.
I've tried Territe, but it's like
it's not my thing.
This is not my thing either. I'm trying to think if there's any other good ones.
Well, Tony in my mind will always be called Who is Tony?
Who is Tony? This, like, man?
It's not just who is Tony. You have to add the, like, extra, like, incredulous, just like, who is Tony?
We used to always call him, like, this is a lot of people don't play with the sound on, right? But, like, I would always forget the names, and so we'd call him by, like,
Get Down.
It, yeah, what it says. Cakes.
Yeah, Get Down.
Get
yeah.
Down was the one that I was thinking of, yeah.
At least Leroy Jenkins, you can't screw up because he's like a Pokemon. He just says his name.
So you know, he had chickens. I'll sometimes refer to character like cards based on their voice line because I've watched enough streams that I know what their voice line is. And she'll look at me and be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, so we're going to play around Get Down here. She's like, what the hell is Get Down? What do you mean? And I'm like, well, now I have to remember the actual card name.
Noble Sacrifice.
Position, dear. Yes, yes, yeah. Well, I'm saying, like,
sure.
For me in the moment with my wife, I'm just like, okay, well, now you're asking me to remember the actual card name I'm telling you to play around. You don't play around anything. You just play your cards anyway. But yeah, no, but particularly things that are strong that get in her way that she gets annoyed about. She comes up with nicknames for, and Angry Red Buttholes is a good one.
Well, wiser words have never been spoken, and you've heard that on
Bore to Be Wild.
Wild.